Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Hi, Adam. Day one of lockdown, and we're still not coming with an echo. How are you?
Is it all feeling a bit strange?
It is a little weird. I mean, nothing much has really changed for us here in the studio yet. But after this, when we go home and we have to stay there, it'll be different, I'm sure.
It's the eerie silence and the eerie quiet and the driving down the road, if you have to, obviously for essential journeys, et cetera, et cetera. And you suddenly think, do you know what? There really are people missing. People really are at home. People really are driving each other crazy behind closed doors.
Correct. People have to consider the marriage vows that they made when it's 24 hours. Okay, so talk to us about emergency hospitals. What's on the go in Europe?
Well, it's interesting, this, because the sort of domino effect of how this coronavirus has spread and the terribly impressive way that the Chinese put up that hospital in 17 days in Wuhan, and that's what sort of kicked this whole thing off. And at the time, we were thinking, blimey, we couldn't do that. Well, we're not doing that, but we're doing similar sorts of things. So Italy and Spain, for instance, have both of them started a kind of field hospital arrangement, although they're also... they have also been moving patients around in order to try to offset some of the load. In Italy, this is beginning not to work because the virus has indeed now spread to southern Italy. And so they're worried now that, again, the hospitals will be absolutely inundated. In France, they've been doing two things to, again, offset the pressure on their medics. They've been moving some patients by train from east to west, where there are fewer cases and less demand, and also to Germany. So some German hospitals now have French patients because there was more capacity. A doctor in New York has talked about a bullet train of infections, but also, again, I've heard medics in New York, Italy, and in the UK talk about a tsunami. And I think that's the thing. It starts off as you think you can handle it, and then it just keeps on coming.
That's right.
And in the UK, they've already converted an exhibition centre, or they're in the process of it, perhaps I should say, because it's not formally open. An exhibition centre in East London, the XL Centre, is being turned into an emergency hospital, or to mix two phrases, one more recently, one from the past, a pop-up MASH, which I quite like as an expression.
I hear you. I like how you find the positive in that story there with pop-up MASH. Talk to me about narco-terrorism.
Because there are other things in the world, and this is an extraordinary series of charges leveled at the Venezuelan president and 13 others, including some very senior members of his cabinet, senior military as well. Essentially, the United States Attorney General, William Barr, has accused Nicolas Maduro, Venezuela's president, although, of course, it's a moot point as to who really should be in charge, but okay, Nicolas Maduro, they've charged him of what they call narco-terrorism, essentially undermining the United States by creating a flood of cocaine and other drugs, but cocaine in particular flowing from Venezuela, using it as a weapon to undermine the health of Americans, as they put it. I mean, on the one hand, I suppose they're doing business and they're making money the way that drug lords like to do. But on the other hand, it's the victims of this. And so the United States has seen this as a kind of almost personal affront that the leader of one country can be doing this to their country. I should probably say allegedly at this stage, although I don't think Nicolas Maduro is out to get us. But certainly America is out to get him. How they would get him? Would he ever stand trial? Will he ever actually leave his office in Venezuela? Yeah, it is a crazy situation, absolutely.
Adam, the United States will never learn. It's been decades now. They will never get the fight against drugs for as long as they think that it's a supply-side-driven problem. For as long as there is demand, there is something. There's a place for that cocaine to go. Talk to the people in Miami. Don't talk to the people in Colombia. It really is a frustrating thing.
Unfortunately, you're right. There is a supply and demand thing with drugs, much as we hate to admit it sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to unfortunately wrap up there, but I'm very excited to chat to you. Not tomorrow. Sorry. I'll chat to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. And stay safe, you. Ciao, Adam.